You know what? We have so many musicians around here. And in my biblical preaching seminary class that I just finished, the textbook called The Jazz of Preaching. Isn't that a great title? That really ignited my imagination. Here's a short quote. The mysterious common ground of jazz and preaching is this. One never arrives. Isn't that true? Their wells are always deeper. There is always more. Where they are concerned, there is no period. Isn't that great? It just really, I was like, I can relate to this. And so that's where we're at. And that is what the kingdom of God is like. There is always more. Every moment, every hour, every day, heaven and earth collide. The supernatural and the natural collide. We're not just trying to get people into heaven. We're trying to get heaven into people. We're not just trying to work within human kingdoms. We are trying to welcome God's kingdom to reach humans. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, which we pray a lot around here. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No matter where we look in our world today, it's hard not to notice there are haves and have-nots. There are uncommon slices of justice and uncountable spheres of injustice. There are marvelous medical remedies for some, while countless others hope and wait for healing and relief. Count generations of children, we prayed for some of them today, generations of children grow up thinking that trauma, isolation, abandonment, or even war is normal. So Jesus continually points us to God's kingdom, in which there is enough justice and righteousness for all. There's enough provision and peace for all. There's enough healing and wholeness for all. Enough joy and love for all. So when we pray, Kingdom of God, come, when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, we're praying for God's kingdom to be made visible right here, right now, with all of the justice, righteousness, peace, provision, healing, wholeness, joy, and love with which the kingdom of God abounds. God's kingdom is far more beautiful, far more expansive, far more enduring, far more wonderful than any of us could possibly imagine. So when Jesus went to the cross, that marked the climax of the good news that Jesus came to proclaim and demonstrate. Jesus embodied the ultimate good news on the cross. Jesus' resurrection, which we're heading towards very rapidly, we're almost halfway through Lent, can you believe it? Jesus' resurrection marked the beginning of the celebration of all celebrations. God invites and welcomes everyone to this celebration, this heavenly banquet, this eternal embrace. So how did this party get started anyway? That's become part of me now, I'm sorry. Thank you, Robbie. He's not here right now, but how did the party get started? So we're going to start by reading from Luke chapter 4. It's a familiar passage. But first, before we read that, a little backstory. We know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, right? He grew up working as a carpenter in Nazareth. And when he was 30 years old, right at the start of what we call his earthly ministry, Jesus burst onto the scene when he did something different at the synagogue. He'd gone to his local synagogue every week. Okay, he participated in worship services there. But on this particular day, Jesus read aloud from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And the part he read is recorded for us in Luke chapter 4 in just two verses, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, instead of just quietly sitting down, which is probably what he was supposed to do, Jesus then said something quite shocking. Today, this is verse 21, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus was basically saying, look, you've been waiting for the kingdom of God. You've been waiting for the Messiah to come. I've got some news for you, some good news, some really good news. Your waiting is over because here I am and here it is. Now, if we look back in history, in Greco-Roman society at the time, 95% of the population either had no status, low status, or despicable status. That's a lot of people, right? So 5% were like in the in-group. 95%. Jesus's ministry went on to bring release, recovery, freedom, and healing to the poor, the blind, the oppressed, as well as to lepers, the spiritually impoverished, and the demonically oppressed. No wonder this announcement was good news. But no one recognized how this good news would be carried out. It seems like people were expecting that when the Messiah came, bada bing, bada boom, everything would be suddenly put right again. Jesus did come in order to set everything right again. But Jesus didn't do all that needed to be done in the 3 short years that he walked the earth. You know, we've talked about this a little bit lately in some of the Bible studies we're doing around here. Jesus walked around, right? He occasionally got into a boat and once in a while rode on a colt, something like that. But in 1,000 or so days that he was in doing his earthly ministry, he covered less than a 100-mile radius. And after Jesus died on the cross, rose again, and ascended to the Father, and poured out the Holy Spirit on the church, Jesus now continues what he started through us. We who follow Jesus are the ones who get to set everything right in every place on earth by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been told and we've been empowered to go here, there, and everywhere. All right, so the good news changed. Has the good news changed since Jesus started announcing it 2,000 years ago? Did he say, here's the good news I've announced, but here, look, I've toned it down a bit for you, so you can just announce these parts, right? Of course not, but don't we live that way sometimes? But because we're immersed in the age of cynicism, and you guys, we don't have to look far. I just spent the week with my dad and stepmom. They watch a lot of news, 12 hours a day. And I'm like, woo, got to wash the cynicism off, you know? It would be easy to forget that the very same good news that Jesus announced is the very same good news we get to announce today. Because we live in an empire of entertainment, it would be easy to grow apathetic or just numb out. Let's remember today that the good news of Jesus is all-encompassing good news. Jesus' good news is for every person and every part of creation. Jesus' good news touches every aspect of life. Jesus' good news announces that all those things we talked about, justice, righteousness, peace, provision, and so forth, have already but not yet fully arrived, and they're available right here, right now. So today, as we continue our series on Vineyard values, we're going to be looking at what it means to be naturally supernatural. How do we do that? So we're going to listen in on a conversation between Jesus and his closest followers during their last meal together. This is in John chapter 14, starting in verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, We do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these because I am going to the Father. Jesus clearly wants his followers then and his followers now, you and me, to know and see the Father, to know and see Jesus, to believe in Jesus. So as we know and see and believe, we announce the good news of the kingdom of God. But then Jesus takes it a step further. We don't just talk about the good news, we also get to do it. Jesus tells us to do the works that he does, and even greater works than these. So I know we talk a lot around here about how everybody gets to play. Every single person gets to participate, and what joy that is. The Holy Spirit empowers and directs us to do the works of Jesus, often in very unexpected ways, simply as we make ourselves available to him. Being naturally supernatural is something that is available to every follower of Jesus. So the rest of my sermon, I'm going to tell five stories that I hope will help each of us to become more naturally supernatural as we proclaim and demonstrate the good news of the kingdom of God. And these are all stories that I have experienced firsthand. In the first story, a woman in our small group told me one day that she sensed God had told her, You're going to have a daughter, and this is her name. She was already past the normal age of childbearing, but she had strong faith and was certain that this was something that God had spoken to her. And if God had done it for biblical Sarah and biblical Elizabeth, God could do it for her too. I couldn't disagree with that. But I fell into the trap of presumption. As we prayed together, I too sensed that God would grant my friend her heart's desire to have a baby with her husband, and in particular, a daughter. After all, these are good desires. God says that children are a blessing. So far, so good. The mistake I made was that I presumed that I knew more than I did. I cannot hear God perfectly. No one can. I truly desired the blessing of a daughter for my friend, and I knew that my desires could make it harder for me to hear God's voice, but also to discern what to do with what I heard. I loved my friend. I wanted that for her. She wanted it. I decided to go ahead and tell her what I sensed God was saying. And I've since come to realize that even if I hear the audible voice of God, even if I see God's handwriting in the sky, even if a scroll from heaven falls onto my lap, when it comes to things of long-term significance in someone else's life, especially related to pregnancy, children, marriage, that kind of thing, the best course of action is to be like Mary. Mary heard the Lord and she pondered and treasured these things in her heart. No matter how sure I am that I've heard God's voice accurately, even if I speak with the utmost love, it is presumptuous to promise any of these things to someone else. And that's basically what I was doing. I have no power to make them happen. And my wisdom, my foresight are definitely insufficient. So in that season, the church we were in encouraged us to speak out when it came to prophetic words. And that can sound better than it is, even if it's well-meaning. Because when we speak out words that are general promises of God, and we make them specific promises for a specific person in a specific way, we speak presumptuously. So as it turns out, my friend did not get pregnant. There was no daughter. When I saw her years later, I apologized for my presumption. It can be hard to live in and speak from a place of faith without stepping over that line. Being naturally supernatural means that we do not presume to know more than we do. And being naturally supernatural means that there is a time to speak and a time to be silent when it comes to revelation from God. The second story happened when I was pregnant with Cascade. A friend came over with her son for a play date with my sons. And as often happens when young moms get together, we shared birth stories. A few weeks before her due date, my friend was on her way to the grocery store when a speeding car came out of nowhere and slammed into her vehicle. The impact was so severe that it pushed the baby through the walls of her uterus. An emergency C-section saved baby. Emergency blood transfusions saved mom. It was nothing short of a miracle that they both survived. After several more surgeries to complete repairs, the doctors delivered bad news to my friend. They said she would not be able to have any more children. The tearing, damage, and subsequent scarring on her uterus were too severe to sustain another pregnancy. So as our boys happily played with their blocks, I took a deep breath and asked, "Can I pray for you right now?" While we were praying, the Lord showed me a vision of an outstretched finger smoothing out a rough-looking T-shaped scar that ran the length and breadth of her uterus. I shared what I saw as I saw it and prayed with faith for God to heal and restore her broken uterus. We both felt the Holy Spirit's power and presence that day. Shortly after that, her young family moved far away and we lost touch. About 18 years later, we reconnected online. She had gone on to give birth to not one, but two more children. All glory to God. Being naturally supernatural means that we trust God and we pray for healing out of obedience to Jesus. And being naturally supernatural means we pray for healing and leave the results with God. The third story happened to a young married couple in another small group we were in. Many in our group were lifelong churchgoers who were just beginning to believe and learn the both and, that God speaks in the Bible and through the Bible, and God speaks to us personally today. We all heard solid teaching that stirred our faith to seek God and to seek to hear God's voice. But unfortunately, there was a lot of flaky and imbalanced teaching mixed in, along with a bit of hype. We all read from the NIV in those days, and in retrospect, we would have done well to pay more attention to Proverbs 19:2 Desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? So one week, the husband of this young couple announced that God had told him to purchase a house by faith. What we didn't realize that day was that when he said by faith, he meant that because of his certainty that God had told him what to do, he was just going to go ahead and do it. He rushed ahead without the wisdom of allowing others to speak into the process. Before we knew what was happening, he'd already signed the contract and coerced his wife into signing it. His desire to hear God's voice was good. His desire to have a home in which to grow a family was good. But none of us has enough knowledge or wisdom on our own. And in his misguided attempt to act in faith, he deliberately omitted the standard clause in real estate contracts that says, subject to financing. That clause means that if someone applies for a loan but is refused for any reason, the prospective buyer can withdraw from the contract with no penalty. Within a few weeks, this young couple's loan application was refused. And without the escape clause, they were legally obligated to go through with the sale. The financial strain of that situation ended up being the catalyst for the breakdown of their marriage. Years of heartache and pain ensued. Bitterness and cynicism crept into not only their lives, but rippled out to many around them. Being naturally supernatural means acknowledging that we do not hear God perfectly. And being naturally supernatural means making big decisions slowly and with the wisdom of many counselors. The fourth story happened to our family. Paul worked for many years as a computer programmer on a contract basis with amazingly few gaps between contracts. There was a time, though, when a month-long gap stretched to 3, then 6, and all the way to 14 months. For that long season, it wasn't just the 8 of us who needed feeding, clothing, and sheltering. We also had 2 young men living with us who were interns at our church. So there was no income stream flowing into our home. We continued doing what we were doing. Paul kept searching for and applying for jobs each day. I kept teaching the children. Together, we continued dedicating each family member to the Lord every morning, every evening, and we looked to God to provide what we needed. Mouths were fed, teeth were cleaned, bodies were clothed, bills were paid, lights stayed on, growing feet had shoes to wear. We cut out frivolous purchases so that our children could continue participating in soccer and music. Now, very early in our marriage, we were blessed to have a visiting teacher come to our church who taught us about how to manage your money. And so we had learned to set and live by a very modest budget. And part of that plan had included paying off our house as quickly as possible. Now, by the grace of God, we'd been able to do that a couple of years earlier, and then we continued putting the same amount into an investment account each month. God blessed those investments beyond our wildest dreams. Even though we knew how that was the way that God provided for our financial needs, it was still nothing short of a miracle. In a way that made no sense mathematically or economically, God multiplied our finances in such a way that even with 10 people to care for, we had more at the end of the 14 months than we'd started with. We did not do anything clever or good to deserve that, and it wasn't even a particularly profitable season for investors. There was no way to explain this other than that God provided and poured out abundant blessing on us. All glory to God. Being naturally supernatural means that we look to God to provide all that we need. And being naturally supernatural means that we leave the details of how God provides, when, and what that everything about it, we leave that to God. The fifth and final story is another family story. When our family moved to Russia to serve as missionaries, one of the first of many legal steps we had to do was to complete our registration with the city's government office within 3 days. The process involved us doing something and the chief official doing something. Our Russian friends helped us to do our part, but the city official dug in her heels and refused to do her part. She had a long-standing reputation of being actively opposed to outsiders, which means anyone with a different ethnic or cultural heritage. We were not only outsiders, but even worse, we were foreigners who hoped to gain residency, the last people on earth she wanted to assist. Legally, we could have been expelled at any time. Meanwhile, we had already visited the city several times and had already set up our apartment 2 months prior. So as part of our transition and moving to Russia, even though we were still waiting for our registration to be completed, we went ahead and started in on our new family, school, and church routines. So part of that was I attended our weekly evening prayer meeting in our church office, which was a very lively time, tiny little office crammed with like 20 people in what we would consider a six-seater room here in the US. Very precious times, passionate prayers pouring forth from a precious group of Russian, old and young Russians, and a bunch of students from all over the world. We cried out to God together for all kinds of things. So when the group heard about our situation on day 4, some of the prayers prayed were against the city official, against her actions, against her attitudes, against her. A week went by, nothing in our situation changed. On day 11, several people railed against the city official in prayer, again at the prayer meeting. Prayers that grew increasingly angry. As the days continued to slip by, we grew increasingly concerned about our status. It was a very real possibility that we could get a knock on the door, an immediate escort to the airport, and a 5-year ban from returning to the country. The prayer meeting night came around again. This time, someone in the group hesitantly suggested, could we show love to her by praying blessing instead of cursing on the city official? This was received as a Holy Spirit directive. Beautiful blessings were prayed over her and for her all around. Our translator called us the next morning, day 19. Our registrations were approved. Being naturally supernatural means setting aside our own feelings and praying God's heart for all people and all of creation. Being naturally supernatural means speaking words of blessing to and about others. So how about you and me today? Let's reflect on some of the ways we've talked about how we can be naturally supernatural in our lives. What has God revealed to me that I am to speak? And what has God revealed to me that I am to ponder and pray about in my heart? What do I need to let go of in order to leave the results of my prayers with God? And in which decision of my life do I need to invite the wisdom of many counselors? What expectations do I need to release when it comes to how God will provide for my needs? Over which person or group do I need to speak and pray words of life and blessing this week? Being naturally supernatural affects everything about how we talk, how we think, how we act, how we pray, what we expect, how we see others, how we see suffering, how we see healing, how we see waiting, how we see ourselves, others, and God. Being naturally supernatural means that we do the natural stuff and we let God do the supernatural stuff. We reject hype and manipulation. We seek God for who God is, not just for what God can do for us. At times, we will experience God in such a way that might be best described as miraculous. At times, we will experience resistance in all kinds of ways. At times, we're going to feel foolish for knowing, believing, or doing what Jesus said to know, believe, or do. There will often be a sense of incompleteness because the fullness of the kingdom will not be complete until Jesus comes again. Being naturally supernatural is how we do our part as transformed people who transform the world one word at a time, one work at a time. Being naturally supernatural means engaging with others who have a different view from us. They might differ from us in viewing a particular nation as a friend or a foe. Love them, bless them, pray for them anyway. They might differ from you in their sexual ethics. Love them, bless them, pray for them anyway. They might differ from you in their political persuasion. Love them, bless them, pray for them anyway. Sometimes we're going to get it wrong. I have many times. I just told you a few of the times. Let's learn from our mistakes. Let's persevere to know, see, and believe Jesus, continuing to proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom of God. God is so faithful. God is always doing a good, holy, and beautiful work in each person. He partners with us. This is the amazing part. God partners with imperfect us to be the hands and feet, the mouths of Jesus as we go about doing Jesus' work. And we speak from the love and blessing of God. Jesus is calling us today to step into the more of the kingdom of God. Do you notice some injustice? Go for it. Do you notice some dry bones that need to live? Go for it. Do you encounter some suffering? Go for it. Remember Bachman Turner Overdrive's great song from 1974, "Baby, we ain't seen none of nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. There's more." I know, I love that song. That was one of my brother's favorite songs. Be naturally supernatural for the greater glory of God. Lord, thank you so much for the delicious meal we've enjoyed in here as you fed our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our souls, all the parts of us. You're going to feed our bodies in a few minutes. We thank you, Lord, that you are so, so good. And we confess that we are weak. We confess that we get stuck in ways of thinking and ways of doing. We get stuck in habits, and that can be really good, so that we don't have to keep remembering every day, I need to eat, I need to sleep. We have habits. These are good. But Lord, would you break open the places in us that you want to be broken open? Would you breathe on us a renewed imagination for what could happen? What if I went and
gave this to that person? What if I spent time with so-and-so and listened to them? What if I chose to speak this way instead of that way? Whatever the what ifs are, Lord, would you infuse us with a fresh vision for how you want to bring the kingdom, reveal the kingdom through us? We feel so small and insignificant, and we are in a lot of ways. And yet you say that you created us a little lower than angels, and you have crowned us with glory and honor. We know we don't deserve it. It's because of who you are. It's because you made us to reflect your image. Would you help us to be image reflectors of God, who just spread around in every which way, just like a mirror, reflects the light in every possible direction? Would you help us to reflect well your heart, your love, your beauty, your goodness, your truth, everywhere we go, with words, without words, with actions, without actions, just by being showing up, being present, but also being willing to love and serve and speak and hear and whatever you want us to do, roll up our sleeves. We are available to you. Use us however you want to. We want you to be glorified in and through us, and to do good to neighbors and nations as we do the best we can in your power for your glory. Thank you for the food we're about to eat. Thank you for each one here. Pray that your blessing would rest on each one of us as we go and do the things that you have us do this week, as we go and be carriers of your presence in this world. Thank you that the world will be transformed this week because we show up and do what you show us to do by your power. In Jesus' precious name, amen.